Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm John Ryan, your host. My co-host is Jerry Peretzman.
Good morning again. Get out and enjoy the day before it rains.
It's raining now. I'm looking out the window.
I saw the umbrellas going by.
Our first guest was Jerry Berkson from Great Neck. And really, what a tremendous
I think Jerry lives in New Hyde Park.
Oh, he does New Hyde Park? Okay.
He taught at Great Neck.
Thank you. And Jerry, my co-host, knows him from REAP and different places around town.
And a lot of common
ties. I threw another plug in for REAP for you. Okay. Our next guest is Dean Quaser, who is a regional specialist in insurance with Time Financial, which is a Crump company. And the reason we're bringing him on today, it's a very interesting thing. I'm going to go back a week and a half ago to the conference that Supervisor Bosworth and Doser and Project Independence put together, the Aging in Suburbia, and Tom DiNapoli's presentation, who is the controller of the state of New York. And Tom was talking about aging. And he was giving all the statistics, which I'm not going to go into, of how the seniors are the population that's expanding at the greatest rate. People over 100, people over 90, people over 80. Project Independence is a perfect example of that. I mean, we have lively seniors in our 80s and 90s who are actively participating in many things. The problem, unfortunately, is long-term care costs. When it does happen, and somebody's in need, I'm working with two people right now, when it does happen and somebody's in need, not only the expense, but the strain it puts on a family is tremendous. And Project Independence is offering so much to the people to help them stay at home in the town of North Hempstead. But for somebody who becomes frail elderly, becomes sickly, that spouse has to be taken care of. It requires more medical attention. These are some of the questions we're going to throw at Dean, if there's possible answers that can be looked at. Sure. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jerry.
Thank you very much for coming out here this morning.
No, I'd like to quote one fascinating statistic before you start.
No, we're right here.
I was looking at the mortality tables that were in existence in 1930.
Okay.
And the table for 1930 said that roughly 2% of the people born around 1930 would live to be 87, my age. I looked at the current table that was put out in the year 2013. Guess how many people born in 1930 expected to live to be 87?
A lot.
Male. Almost 30%.
Wow.
As you say, John, it's exploding. Yeah. And guys like you have to come up with answers or give some direction.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
One of the things that, and I agree with this, I mean, it really is exploding. Yeah. And one of the things that I've worked with Dean on and is reviewing, and I think everybody should do it. Everybody has to review everything. Your healthcare proxies, we've had Ann Margaret Rosa on, who's a wonderful elder law attorney, and going through wills and stuff like that. You know, people review their investments. You have to review your insurance. Just because you have a life insurance policy, 10, 20, 25 years old, doesn't mean you shouldn't look at it. What Dean has been doing is looking at life insurance policies, in some cases, increasing the death benefit, but more importantly, getting a long-term care rider put on somebody's 20-year-old life insurance policy, which is tremendous.
Yeah, and I think it actually ties into what Jerry was just mentioning, how people are living longer and longer. Older policies that were taken out 10, 20 years ago, they were using different mortality tables where they expected people only to live to a certain time period.
That's right.
And as we know now, people are living to be older and older. So in terms of just new life insurance policies, they're priced in such a way to reflect that, meaning the cost in a lot of cases have come down. Clients that have
because older, you're paying into it longer.
Because you've been paying into it longer, and the newer policies take into effect that people are living longer. So because they're living longer, the pricing is less. Because life insurance, as we know, pays out when someone passes away. So if they're expected to live to a longer time period, that's a longer time that the insurance company can collect money and invest. So that's one of the reasons why we're able to sometimes take older life insurance policies. for clients who are still in good health and able to convert them into newer policies that have lower costs because they're using the newer mortality tables. In addition to that, you know, one of the concerns for many of our clients in that age group is may not be premature death anymore. You know, when clients take out life insurance policies in their 30s and 40s, they're typically concerned about, you know, taking care of their spouse, taking care of their kids in the event of their premature death, making sure that the mortgage is paid off and there's money set aside for income. But, you know, as clients become 50, 60, 70 years old and they've saved for retirement and now they might be retired, you know, that income protection is not as important anymore. You know, the kids are grown, right. The mortgage is paid off and they're retired. So the next big concern for those clients typically is, well, what if I need to be taken care of? And we all know the, you know, astronomical costs that can be associated with someone who needs substantial help with their activities of daily living. You know, and just to throw it out there, just to get some in-home care for someone to come in 8 hours a day, five days a week, could cost around $4,000 per month on average in this area. And, you know, it can go up to as much as $13,000 per month for a long-term care facility, you know, in the event someone needs that type of help. And these are average costs. They can be higher or they can be lower. So for a lot of folks who no longer need the death benefit protection that their policies once offered, sometimes it does make sense to look at some of these newer policies that can more closely address what their needs are at this point, which is, hey, what if I need to be taken care of? So some of these newer policies will still give you that death benefit you had before, but they'll also give you a living benefit by being able to utilize some of that death benefit while you're living. The insurance company will give you money while you're living in the event that you need to be taken care of and need help with your activities of daily living.
The interesting thing about this is you are taking money that you have accumulated over the years. You're not picking up a new premium and going out of pocket. And at a certain age, if you're going 60, 65, and you're trying to get a long-term care policy that you're going to be paying annual premiums on, you could be paying $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a year.
Absolutely. And one of the things that sometimes keeps people from purchasing something like that, one, obviously it's very expensive, but even if you can afford it, a lot of times, you know, there is a chance you may not need to use it. So at age 65, to start paying $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 a year every single year for the rest of your life, knowing that there's a chance you might not use it, sometimes keeps people from getting it, even though it would probably be in their best interest to do so.
Right.
But
so what you're saying is that you can get a double use out of your premiums, that each premium dollar you pay gives you an extra incremental level of protection, of coverage. And life insurance becomes life insurance rather than death insurance.
Right. That's exactly right, Jerry. That's exactly right. So, you know, you're getting double use, and also you're making sure that your premium dollars aren't being wasted. So this way, someone will collect a benefit. Either you're going to collect it to help you care for yourself, and whatever you don't use for yourself will go on to your beneficiaries in the form of a tax-free death benefit.
Absolutely. I mean, go ahead, Jerry, you going to say something?
No, I was going to say, are you going to touch on the life insurance of protecting assets and transfer of estate?
Yeah, so life insurance can be used for a lot of different things. And when I started the conversation, it was about, you know, income protection and taking care of spouses and children when someone is in their younger years. But for our clients who are in their older years and who don't need the death benefit to protect their incomes anymore, it becomes about using it to do different things. And sometimes it can be about addressing estate issues. For clients who have done a good job of saving and investing and have accumulated a lot of assets, when they leave these assets to their beneficiaries, sometimes there's a fair amount of income or estate taxes that the government will collect before their beneficiaries can get that money. So a lot of times life insurance can be used to offset some of those taxes and expenses associated with transference of assets from one generation to another.
So we're saying life insurance is a very versatile tool.
Absolutely,
Jerry. That's
what
it comes down to.
Yeah, it can be.
People don't always appreciate it. I think they look at it as years gone by, as we all may perhaps have. It's a death benefit. It protects the family, as you rightly said, when the kids are growing up. But it has so many other values beyond that.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, it's not for everyone. But no. for folks who are in a position to be able to help themselves and help the next generation, it's one of the few tools that, if we look at it from an investment perspective, and when I say investment perspective, the money you put into the policy and the money that comes out of the policy in the form of an insurance benefit, you know, it's one of the few investments that can be fully guaranteed. So you know exactly what you're putting in, you know exactly what you're getting out. The benefits you collect from a long-term care perspective would be fully tax-free also. The benefits you transfer to your heirs could be fully tax-free as well. So there's very little investments out there that have the ability to do those things. You know, the downside is the money you invest in this insurance policy most likely isn't going to pay for your grand vacation or the new beach home or anything like that. But to take care of your family and to help take care of yourself, it can be a tremendous, tremendous asset.
Right. But essentially, the premiums come back to you, is what you say in terms of benefits, one way or another, depending on how you structure it.
Right, the premiums and then some.
Yeah.
So you're going to get back the money you put into it and then some additional benefits.
Well, the premium is going to come back to you either in the death benefit to your family, your spouse and children. I agree.
They kind of think I'm spending the money and I'll never see it again. But it does come back to you. That's the concept
of insurance. That's exactly right. So.
And the important thing is people have to pay attention to, yes, you're putting some money into a premium, but the consequences of a family having nothing at the death of the main provider, we've seen some of those too, when they're scraping and trying to get by, when it just took a little bit of planning. And that's the important thing here. At some point, everybody has to, one, plan for the future, but then when you've planned, as Dean was saying, long enough, you still have to reevaluate. Because just because you did something 10, 15, 20 years ago, doesn't mean it shouldn't be looked at.
That's right.
You know what we're going to do? Just sort of we're going to take a break now, which makes a little bit more sense, and we'll be back here with Dean. You've been listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence, and you will be right back.